Thank you, Ian, and thank you for your prayers. And some of us might also have heard a joke I've shared before in this church about praying before sermon. I think it was the writer of the Every Day with Jesus, Selwyn Hughes, who was returning home after a sermon with a son who had listened to him during the service in the car. And he asked his son, "How was my sermon today?" The man did not answer. And then he said, "Dad, why did you always pray before your sermon?" And Selwyn said, "Oh, because I want God to make sure that I preach a good sermon." And then the boy says, "How come God doesn't answer your prayer?" So if it doesn't sound very good today, it's Ian's prayer, not mine. It's nice to see you. It's nice to see you online. And today we're looking at the book of Habakkuk. And thank you for the setting the scene that we had from David and from Ian in the last two Sundays. We are looking at this nice prophet, and I put a red mark on minor because, like we heard in the previous sermons, there is really nothing minor about these people. Even the size of what they wrote, if you read those words, they are quite heavy. They may not look big, but they are heavy words. So Habakkuk is one of the ones I'm looking at today. And I'm looking at what we read just earlier, beautifully rendered by Hillary. And Hillary may not probably like what I'm going to say next, but the way they pronounce the word itself caught me by some surprise. Next slide, please. Yeah, we looked at this in the last two, so you can skip that. Yeah, so 12 prophets. You can actually call them the 12 prophets without putting minor, just because there's really nothing minor about them. And I'm looking at this one called Habakkuk today. Now, Habakkuk is, when you look at it, in the next slide, when you look at it, you probably would be thinking of a password or something. You know, there are so many K's in it, and then the pronunciation has been subject of some different opinions. I was looking through somebody's blog, a Hebrew native speaker, who was very adamant about a wrong way of pronouncing it. And he would not like you to call it Habakkuk, because it's not a cock. It's Habakkuk, because it's a cook. And for those of us who learn by different means, I listened to what he was saying, and it sounded like have a book or have a cook. Do you have a cook? You know, you are invited to somebody's meal at home, and they present a very nice meal, and you are very surprised that a meal like this will come out of Shola, and you say, "Do you have a cook?" So he said, "Do you have a cookbook? Do you have a cookbook?" And I was trying to bring a cookbook with me for this sermon today. I forgot. So on my way here, God said, "Actually, you have one, and that is your Bible. The Bible is your cookbook. Out of this book comes fresh food every time. Every time you read it, whether you've read it before or not, whether you are a theologian or not, every time you read this book, it presents you with fresh meal every time. So this is our cookbook. So do you have a cook?" So that's the way to remember the book of the Bible. So Habakkuk is what we are learning about today. And my topic is God's strength, a finder's paradox. A finder's paradox. Habakkuk was prophesying around the time of the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry. Mighty forces of this huge Babylonian Empire starting preparing to invade Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been swallowed by the Assyrians. Assyrians were swallowed by the Babylonians, so the Babylonian was now a big threat in the area. And it was a dreadful time in Judah and Jerusalem at the time. So this hopeless and distressing time was the time when Habakkuk was prophesying. In chapters 1 and 2, we saw, or if you read it, you will see how he was asking questions from God. The first question was, why are you silent when Israel has become so unrighteous, so unjust, so oppressing, so full of themselves, so much in unrighteousness and ungodliness? Why are you silent? Then God answered him, I'm not actually silent. You see these Babylonians at your border, they're about to teach people a lesson. And then Habakkuk was surprised. How could you, a just judge, holy judge, holy God, allow hidden nation who are a lot worse than us to come and destroy us like they destroyed the north and destroyed Egypt and destroyed the Assyrians? And God said, don't be surprised. What will become of the Babylonians themselves? And that was the point when he said those statements in the passage that we read today. So in these times that Habakkuk and the whole of Judah were trembling, you could hear him say things like, fear and things has crept into me, decay has crept into my bones. He was already thinking of famine and lack of food, fig trees that were not bought, grapes that were not common, and fields that will fail to produce food. Even the tough olive trees will not produce. And paradoxically, there was that word yet, Y-E-T, that came before or after all those things that he listed. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. How can you be joyful without grapes, without crop, without food, without sheep, without cattle? Why? How could that happen? And that is the finder's paradox. The time when people least expect joy to come. It's just like somebody is saying that somebody is going for an exam and is happy and rejoicing. They are usually nervous. They're usually worried. These Babylonians are ruthless people. They are not going to mess about. But still, I will rejoice. But he will rejoice in the Lord. He will rejoice in God, my Savior. So in the face of calamity, you may recall, this is a man waiting for these things to happen. He knew they were going to happen. They've seen it happen around them. Finders of joy in situations like this are those who know their God. I could stand here and present this to you in 5 minutes or in 50 minutes. It will probably make the same effect because it's not a head knowledge message. It's a thing of the heart. It's a thing of letting go. It's a thing of seeking and finding God's strength in the most unlikely situations. Why? Because God is our Savior. God is the one who is sovereign over every situation. God is the one who controls and is in charge. The grace that we have, the table of Eucharist that we have, is already being done and dealt with. The victory that comes from the marking of the shedding of blood and the breaking of his body has already been done. All what the Lord is asking is for us to just let go and let God do it. And the rejoicing comes as a result. With all of his wobbly legs, Habakkuk will rejoice. The next slide. In Isaiah chapter 40, we saw, and the next slide, please. And we saw this statement from Isaiah. Very powerful statement. Again, this is not about learning the words. This is about experiencing it. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even the youths will become weak. The young men might even be exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on the high on the wings like eagles. The eagles are those that don't just flap about. They just stretch that span of their wings. And the wind just takes them. And they just need to direct it or whatever they do. I've never been an eagle. They will just keep going. That is what the Lord is promising us. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And Donwell sings, "Let the weak say, I am strong because of what the Lord has done." In Habakkuk, he spent some time telling himself in this prayer, reminding himself of what the Lord has done. The plagues and the parting of the seas and all of those big things, the sun and moon standing still, all those things he was mentioning before verse 16. Years ago, I joined my elder brother in the same school. And it was a few years, maybe 2 years or so ahead of me. But he was also the school goalkeeper in football. So immediately I became very famous. I became untouchable just because my brother, elder brother, was the school goalkeeper. And nobody dared touch me. Don't you know I'm the brother of the goalkeeper of the school? And then they leave me alone. I probably started a few troubles myself just to test it out. And sometimes when I'm weak and I'm troubled and I even pretend to be hungry, I know where to go. My brother will always find something for me. And then he passed out of the school. He had to go to a higher school and left me behind. The presence of my brother for that period was a lot of strength for me. Just the knowledge, just knowing that my brother is in this school and everybody knows him and he's actually of a status that people respected, I had strength. I wasn't weak. I could do anything I wanted to do. I had many friends. Everybody wanted to be the friend of the brother of the goalkeeper. How much more the God that we serve? It is Jesus Christ through the combination of his death on the cross, the shedding of his body, breaking of his body, and the joy of resurrection and ascension that finders of God's strength could receive joy and rejoice in times of calamity, even in times of pain. By the power of Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul was able to withstand the thorn in his flesh that even prayers did not remove. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, 3 times I pleaded, "Lord, take this thorn in my flesh away." But instead, what did God say to him? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in this your weakness. Therefore, I will boast even much more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, I am also strong. That's the finder's paradox. You can look at me and see weakness, but from inside, I feel strength. From inside, he strengthens me. The power of God is at work inside me. I may have this pain, I may have this suffering, I may be grieving, I may be mourning, I may look like everything is hopeless. It may look like it is not well timed. This project may not be ready in time, and I'm feeling like it's, what's all this? But then I draw strength from my inside, because out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. It's not a pretense. It's not counterfeit. It's not make-do. It's what happens inside when you have the power that makes you strong even when you're weak. For when I am weak, I am also strong. What makes people joyful? You look at pictures of people in some refugee camps and you wonder, what are they happy about? The holes and dirt and mud everywhere, and you still see children and everyone else or something, they find some strength from somewhere. Delight in God's presence, strength in His power, comfort of His Spirit, soothing words of the Scripture. Remember, have a cookbook. Joyful assurance of life forever. The triumph of God at the end of time. That all the problems that you see today, they will all pass away like a season. To come into the life in its fullness that the Lord promises. The joy of knowing Him. The true laughter that is coming from a happy heart. Even when you look around and you cannot find the reasons for it. That is the joy that we are talking about. That is the joy God gives. And it is a co-participation kind of joy. You come to the person of God. You become a person-to-person related. You become an intimate friend or brother or whatever you want to call it of the Lord. Jesus Christ wants to identify with His own in that pain, in that suffering, in that grief. We are happy to say that God is faithful. Yes, He is faithful. But we also want to see His strength. To be the rod and staff that comforts us during those times when we are in some valley experiences. Jesus Christ allows evil sometimes to do its worst, according to N.T. Wright, because He wants to strangulate it. He wants to drain it of all its power. That is the strength we're talking about. That is the finder's paradox. This is the strength as we now have in Jesus Christ that we are reading again in Habakkuk. He's presenting it afresh to us today. Can you just let go? Can you let Him come alongside? Can you draw on His strength? Can you allow Him to strengthen you? Somebody who did not believe God went to see his friend who was in grief. And when he got there, his friend was away and met a young child at the door. "Where is Mr. Susan?" "Oh, he's gone to church. There's some priest evening happening there." And he was mad. "How can this man be going to church for praise evening? What was he happy about? What's going on?" And the girl said, "Because he believes in God." "You mean you still believe in these things? A God you cannot see? A God you cannot touch physically?" And the girl didn't know how to answer this big man. But he waited until he was about to enter his cage. He said, "Oh, sir, can I ask you a question? This view you have just expressed, from where did you get it?" The man said, "I got it from my common sense." And the girl asked, "Can you touch your common sense? Can you see it? Can you show me? So if you cannot touch your common sense or touch or see it, does it also mean that you don't have common sense?" So the God we serve, we may not be able to touch or see physically. But He wants to walk from our inside. He wants to show us that He loves us. And He wants to strengthen us in real times. If you Google it, even in our bodies, there are things called happy mood hormones. Our body produces things that make us happy. And there are ways we can stimulate those hormones. One of them is being happy, laughing, dancing. I'm not sure preaching is one of them. But singing and writing songs and doing happy things and allowing happy thoughts to run through your mind and the thoughts and the awesomeness of the words in the scriptures, they can even in the physical produce happy mood hormones in our bodies, no matter what we are going through. As I end this, I would like to show again the slide that Ian showed last time. So we see this. God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Then I ask a question. Is that all the time true? Is it true for us? Is it true for you? Is God good all the time for you? Including the bad times? I can tell you that when I had my surgery, I wasn't singing God is good. But then there was this new strength that came in the middle of it that changed the situation. There are some papers on the pews in front of us. I would like you to please, please, please write something in there. Where are you looking for God for strength? Where are you seeking Him for strength? Even if it's not for you, maybe it's for someone else. Maybe it's for your neighbor or for your friend or for your project or for someone at work. Write something, please. Okay, if you don't even have anything to write and you just want to return this paper so that Shola will be happy, can you just write your favorite book in the Bible? Where you get your best meal, your spiritual meal. And please return it during the course of the communion, and we will look at it. And if there are issues in there you want us to pray about, I would like to assure you that somebody will be praying with you. And at the prayer corner, yes, there will be people here who would like to pray with you if you will come. How can I get this power? How can I reach out? How can I find this? How can I also enjoy this paradox? When it is good, it's always good, so praise God. But when it's bad, it can be tough, and you might need someone to pray with you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this much that we have looked at today. We thank you because we know that you are going to water it. We pray that you will begin to look at and touch every heart, every heart, every ear that has heard your word, that even if the fig trees do not bud, yet we shall rejoice in you. We shall be joyful because we know that you will give us strength. You will lift us up. Our feet will be strengthened like that of a deer. And we will rise again to our heights or the higher places where you would want us to be. Lord, we have said all this because we trust you. And we know that you are a promise keeper. You watch over every word. You perform every word. You do not want any word you give to return to you without accomplishing, without achieving the purposes for which you have given them. Behold, your words have gone forth, Lord. Let them begin to achieve, right in this room, right wherever people are watching online. Let your words continue to accomplish the purposes for which you have given them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.